Good morning. So we're beginning the series, as Chris announced, how we want to grow to be more like Jesus, more like him in every aspect of our lives. And today last week we looked at being bold like Jesus, but today we want to look at praying like Jesus. I would like to start off by telling you the story, the prayer story or journey of a lady. She said, "Even after I have realized that prayer is a conversation and not a performance, I still wrestle with what to do. I will bow my head and wait for the words to come. Eyes closed, I had good intentions of talking to God. But instead, I often ended up making grocery lists and writing emails in my mind." So, but eventually, at the end of her journey in prayer, she said, "At last, I realized that prayer is not a special gift reserved for some people. It is a direct line to our Heavenly Father, and it is open to all." So maybe you can relate to this lady. You want to pray, you really want to pray, but it doesn't just flow the way you really would love it to flow. So what we are going to be looking at today is how can we pray more like Jesus? How can we grow in our prayer lives? So let's pray that God will help us as we look into his word, see how Jesus prayed, and how we can grow in our own prayer lives. So let's pray. Father, we do want to thank you for your love for us. Prayer is your idea. You invited us. You say, "Call upon me and I will answer." Lord, it's as an expression of your great love for us. And as we look into your word, we pray you help us. We pray you open our heart to receive your word. And Lord, help me to present in a very simple way and yet profound to reach our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So prayer is actually God's idea. And it is basically, if you want to look at it, is communication with God, conversation with God. We're speaking to God, God speaking to us. In the Old Testament, communication was very direct. You will see God coming down to Adam and Eve to actually fellowship with them. That is prayer. So when God wanted Adam to name the animals, he will bring the animals to Adam. He wants that. It's your job. You do it. So prayer is that sort of communication with God. You can see God actually talking to Cain when he has killed his brother Abel. "Where is your brother?" So communication was very direct. And then God will tell Noah to build an ark to achieve his purpose. The first time somebody ever asked something from God is from Genesis 15. And that is Abraham, where he said, "God, what will you give me seeing that I go childless?" That is the very first time in the Bible somebody make a request to God to do something for them. Actually, the word pray was first used by God himself. So what happened was that when Abraham traveled to the kingdom of Gerar, the king Abimelech took his wife Sarah, and then God appeared to him in a dream and said, "Indeed, you are a dead man because of the woman whom you have taken, for she is a man's wife. Restore the man's wife, for he is a prophet, and he will pray for you, and you shall live." So that is the first time the word prayer was actually used in the Bible. God used it himself. So Abraham prayed for him. In fact, prayer is so fundamental that Jesus said, men, women ought always to pray. The implication is that just the way we eat and breathe, we ought to do the same thing with prayer. In other passages, if you say, pray without ceasing. In Ephesians 6:18, we say, pray with all kinds of prayer always. So whether you are happy or sad, or whether you want to go to the east, but life is taking you to the west, pray. When somebody takes advantage of you, pray. The Bible says, pray for your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. So we ought always, in all circumstances, in all situations, God desires that we pray. In fact, Jesus said that my house shall be called a house of prayer. So the hallmark of God's house is prayer. The hallmark of God's house is prayer. Now you are the temple of God. You are the house of God. Prayer is your hallmark. You should be known because you pray. That is God's desire for us. People often say, how can I spend more time in prayer? Maybe I spend 5 minutes and I run out of words. I don't even know what to say again. So before I actually begin to look at how Jesus prayed, I wanted to expand, first of all, some dimensions of prayer. That prayer is more than just asking God to do something for us. So just look at some of the areas that prayer actually covers. It's a means by which God worked through us to bring his purposes to pass on the earth. We can see that a very good example we all know about is Daniel. He will discover from the Bible that the Israelites were to spend 70 years in Babylon. He will take that on himself and pray so that God's purpose will be fulfilled. We all know about Nehemiah as well. And the second one is how we make our requests known. The Lord's Prayer you have there, give us today our daily bread. So God, that is another way God wants us to pray. It's a way of God revealing his way to us and giving us direction. So in Acts 13, we see the church in Antioch, they gather together as a minister to God. God will say, separate from me, Paul and Barnabas. So if they were not praying, they wouldn't know. And of course, if you come to prayer meeting in Kings, they will remind you of some of the words God has spoken to us. And most of those words came when we were praying or somebody was waiting on God. Prayer is a way God pouring his blessing on humanity. In Numbers 6:23, God told Aaron, this is the way you have to bless my people. The song is very famous. God bless you, God keep you. Is God's word himself. Those words are the very words of God pouring his blessing upon humanity. And prayer is a way we can stand on the gap. We are very familiar with the story of Abraham praying for Sodom and Gomorrah and begin to bring the numbers down. And finally, prayer is a way we can just minister to God in thanksgiving and just be in his presence as your father. Just spend some time to worship. So these are some of the dimensions of prayer. And Jesus models all this very well, that his disciples ask him, teach us how to pray. They recognize the vital role of prayer in his ministry, and he modeled prayer in a manner of way they have never seen it before. So what we are going to do now, we are going to look at how did Jesus actually model prayer. We are going to look at 3 points, modeling prayer through his habits. Modeling prayer when it is difficult to obey, and modeling prayer through exercising authority. So the first one is the habit of taking prayer. You can go to the next slide, outside the prayer closet. When Luke actually told me while we're talking about what to talk about prayer, this was the main thing of my heart, because we all know how to pray, we all have quiet times. And the danger is that once you finish reading your Bible and pray, that is the end of your communication with God for that day. But we can see Jesus, that was not the manner of way Jesus prayed. He took prayer outside the prayer closet. In one breath, he will be talking to people. In the next, the same breath, he's praying to God. And we just get to look at a few examples. And we'll read now from John 12:20-28. Now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the festival. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. Sir, they said, we would like to see Jesus. Philip went to tell Andrew. Andrew and Philip in turn told Jesus. Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. For truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a seed. But if it dies, it produces many seed. Now is my soul troubled. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it was for this reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven. "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." So let's just try to unpack this. So Jesus, he just told Jesus some people want to see you, and he was just preaching to the disciples. And it began to dawn on him that he's going to lay his life on the cross for us. People think it was very easy for him to do that. I think that was a difficult decision. We see that when we're looking at his prayer at Gethsemane, it just dawned on him that he's really going to lay down his life and for the first time be separated from the Father. He said, "My soul is troubled." While speaking to the disciple, in the next line, he said, "Father," he just turned that to prayer. In that moment, he turned it to prayer. "Father, glorify your name." And God responded, "I have already glorified it." In the same breath, as he speaks to men, he immediately can speak to God. We look at another example from Luke 10, 20 to 21. In this case, the servants, they've returned and they told Jesus that by your name, the demons were subject to us. And he said, verse 20, he said, "However, do not rejoice because the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." At that same time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to the little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do." So in the first, here he said, just talking to the disciples, immediately he turned his heart to the Father and began to communicate with the Father. He took prayer out of the closet. Why this is very important for us to maintain our spiritual vitality. Because we live in a world that is falling. Maybe you go to work every day, you're ready for the day, you go to work. Maybe your boss steps on your foot or your colleagues. Or maybe just a normal day of living, the kids are just more difficult this particular day. They just make life more difficult for you. They will maybe cooperate with you. Or in the family, maybe in the morning, try to rush here and there. You know, you and your spouse, there was a bit of miscommunication. The danger is that you can carry that all day. If you do that, you carry that heaviness. It just makes your spiritual vitality is dull. I mean, you can't really function because you're carrying that weight. What to do then is immediately deal with it. Whatever it is, turn your heart to God. Pray about it there and then. Don't carry that throughout the day. Take prayer out of the prayer closet. Just like Jesus. You can be talking to somebody. If things don't go well, just find a way to reach out to God and bring that communication, strengthen yourself in God. You maintain your spiritual vitality this way. I took this permission from Esther to share this story when he was working in Dundee. And, you know, some colleagues, you know, they were just passing some bad comments about her, and then she came in, she heard all the comments, and she talked with them and all that. She said when she was going home, driving home, she was just speaking to herself, reminding herself who she was in Christ. Instead of carrying those things that have been said about her, she decided to just fellowship with God. Begin to remind, this is who I am, not what people have said about me. We need to take prayer out of the closet. In fact, if the pressure is so high, if you're in a situation and there's so much pressure, whether to work, it is okay to take off some time. Go to the toilet for 5 minutes. Just cool down before God. It makes a lot of difference. You can maintain your spiritual vitality that way. We have this story in Mark 1, where Jesus healed the leprosy, a man that was leprous, and he told him, go to the priest, make the necessary sacrifice, don't broadcast it, don't tell people about it. But in verse 45, he said, instead, The man went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. He said, as a result, Jesus could no longer enter the town openly, but he stayed outside in lonely places, yet the people still came to him from everywhere. What does that mean? The man went to preach. The man was just making it so much of what Jesus had done. The Bible said Jesus could not go openly. Why? He was tempted just like each of us. People think he wasn't tempted. He was tempted. If your fame is so all over the place, you could be tempted to be proud. But the Bible said he didn't want to go there. He just, instead, he withdrew to a quiet place and people came to him. So if the pressure is so high, you can just step off a bit. Just to spend 5 minutes, just bow your head before God, it will make all the difference. You maintain your spiritual vitality rather than waiting till when you go home and you carry that heavy burden within you. On the other side of the coin is you also listening to God to pray always. God do whisper things to us. You know, maybe somebody's name comes to you while you're washing the dishes or even while you're driving. It may be they actually need to be prayed for there and then. You need to take prayer out of the closet by maintaining continuous communication with the Father. So in this case, this is a very short story where Jesus went to the pool of Bethesda. There were so many sick people there, but he only healed one. And when the Pharisees came to him, verse 15, says, so the Jewish leaders began harassing Jesus for breaking the Sabbath rules. Jesus replied, my Father is always working, so am I. So Jesus explained, I tell you the truth. The Son can do nothing by himself. He does only what he does see the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son does also. In other words, Jesus, when he did that, because that was what God wanted him to do. There were many other sick people that were not healed. He heard from God. This is what God wanted me to do. Is that attitude of being receptive that God will speak to you? God will bring names to your name. I was driving, when we were staying in a box, and I was just driving to work. I was driving out. And I was, it's just a bend, there's a house in front. And there is this young girl, a teenager with the boy. The door was held ajar by the mother, and you can see what was going on. The mother and the daughter were, you know, quarreling, maybe there's the boyfriend. You know, there was just that argument going on. So I just drove past, and then after, I heard God say to me, that is a young girl, try to grow wings. Can you cut those wings for me? That was just what God told me. So I prayed. Whatever those wings, being disobedient and wanting to go her own way, Lord, I just caught those wings. And after that, when I drive fast again, you see a girl sitting down by the window, studying her books. So God can speak to us at every time. And we should be receptive that at anywhere you are, be willing to pray, be willing to communicate with God. So that is the first one, the habit of taking prayer out of the prayer closet. The second one is the habit of all-night prayers and half-night of prayers. So I will read that. We'll read that now from the book of Luke, verse 12. So one of those days, Jesus went out to the mountainside to pray and spent all night praying to God. When morning came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he also designated apostles. Verse 17, he went down with them and stood on a level plain. A large crowd of disciples were there, and a great number of people from all over Judea, from Jerusalem, and from all the coastal region around Tyre and Sidon, who had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. Those troubled by impure spirit were cured, and the people all tried to touch him because power was coming from him and healed them all. So what is Jesus modeling for us here? He wanted to make a very important decision, the choice of his 12 apostles. This was critical in terms of the gospel continuing after his ascension. So he would spend time to pray, to make that decision. So what Jesus is modeling for us here is that when we are going to make very important and major decisions in our lives, it doesn't have to be not all night, but do spend time. That is what is modeling for us here. Spend time to pray. Spend time to listen to God. Do not rely upon your own understanding. And we can see that when he finished, when he came down with them, there was so much power flowing out of him that people who touched him were healed. And you can see that in the early church, this was modeled in a corporate way. When Peter was in prison, the whole church would gather and they would pray and Peter would be released. And I really want to invite you that if we want to see God's power and insight to how to see Scotland transform, to see the churches being planted to grow, we need to pray. And I want to announce to you that in September we have a half night of prayer. That is an opportunity for you to come. Come and join us as we pray to see God transform Scotland for us. Then the next one is the habit of waking up early in the morning. Don't switch off for those who can't wake up in the morning. Mark 1:35-36. Very early in the morning, it was still dark. Jesus got up and left the house and went off to a solitary place to pray. Simon and his companions went to look for him. What is he modeling for us here? He's modeling priority early in the morning and creating the opportunity. A secret place to be with God alone, where God is the focus, no distraction. So what is that period in your day or in your week where you can give priority time to God and to prayer? You just need to be deliberate about it. It will not happen by chance. You need to be deliberate about it. Look for a spot where there's lack of distraction and just be alone with God. Some people, they prefer prayer walking, which is also very good. They just prefer early in the morning, they go, and or whatever the time of the day, they walk and pray. That is good. But the thing is that you need to give priority to it, because there are so many things contending for your time. But give priority. My wife knows I have prayer times. I don't book anything around, because in fact I'm engaged, because I know I'm going to spend that time to pray. So I'm not really free. So I book around it. I won't say yes if you want to have an appointment at that time. Go do the same to give priority to prayer. The habit of praying with others. Now, about 8 days after those saying, he took with him Peter and John and James, and he went up on the mountain to pray. It's good to pray with other people. You know, somebody just come to you, maybe go for a cup of coffee or a cup of tea, just end up with a bit of prayer. It's good. You support one another praying that way. And I said, maybe some of us will say, well, you know, waking up early is not my thing. It is not that habit. It's what Jesus is actually modeling for us. The next one is modeling prayers when it is difficult to obey. I will read from Luke 22:39-45. Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation." He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them. He knelt down and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done." An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was there like the drop of blood falling to the ground. And when he arose from prayer, he went back to the disciples. He found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. "Why are you sleeping?" he asked them. "Get up and pray so that you will not fall into temptation." So this is where Christ knew it. He has to go to the cross. But it was a difficult decision. This is what God has for me. For this reason, he came. And he will wrestle in prayer he will wrestle in prayer, and angel will come and strengthen him. And we're all very familiar with that passage in Isaiah 40. They that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. You never know, maybe angel do strengthen us when we do that. So when you have a difficult decision to make, not really when you know this is what God wants you to do, but it is not easy, spend time to pray. Spend some time in God's presence. And as you do that, the strength, the grace, and all you need, God will supply it. And God will give you the grace to step forward. But I also just want to make a comment about a phrase that Jesus made twice in this passage. Pray that you will not fall into temptation. The more we pray, some temptations we can avoid. The more we pray, some temptations we can avoid in our lives. And the last one, modeling prayer in exercising authority. Again, we read from the book of Luke 4:38-39. Jesus left the synagogue and went to the house of Simon. Now Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from high fever, and they asked Jesus to help her. So he bent over her and rebuked the fever, and he left her. She got up at once and began to wait to them. Then we read from Mark 16:15-18. And he said to the disciples, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And this sign shall follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out devils. They will speak with new tongues. They will take off serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it will not by any means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover." We can see here that Jesus exercised authority, and he did this over and over. He didn't pray to the Father. He rebuked the fever. And he gave us the same instruction, that in my name, go and preach the gospel. In the same breath, he says, "Heal the sick in my name." So we are to use his name to exercise his authority. It's not our authority. It's his authority, but he has entrusted it for us. We are to be in the same command. Go and pray the gospel and go and pray for the sick. It's the same command. Just obey. Just do it in the name of Jesus. Rebuke sickness in the name of Jesus. I pray for so many people. Some are healed, some are not healed. All you need today is just obey. I know some of us may find it a bit more difficult to do, but it is the word of God. And we can see the well modeled by Peter and John in Acts 3:16. When they healed that lame man, they said, "Silver and gold we have not, but in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk." It was a name. It was a name. The power and authority is in that name. Jesus said, "All power and authority has been given to me." And so if ever we are ever going to exercise any authority, it is only in his name. It's not in anywhere else. All of it belongs to Jesus. It is in that name. And he's instructed us, encouraged us, informed us, we are to use that name to pray and to command and to speak to sickness and to speak to him with our focus on that name. So we, as I'm coming to an end, I just want to visit that topic of saying, we see how Jesus prayed. At times, some people wonder, how do I pray? What are some of the things I have to do? I spend maybe 10 minutes and I run out of words. I don't know how to pray again after 10 minutes. There are some basic elements in our prayer that God has instructed us. The first one is thanksgiving and worship. Always good to start your prayer, just as we are taught in Lord's Prayer, with worship. Honor the Lord. Go into his presence with thanksgiving. In fact, sing a song, worship him with a song. If you look at the book of Matthew 26:30, Jesus and the disciples, they sang a hymn. They sang a hymn together to worship. The second one is 1 Timothy chapter 2. Say, first of all, I exhort, first of all, that prayer, supplication, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Pray for the people in your street. Pray for your colleagues at work. Pray for, you know, your neighbors. And it says for kings and all in authority. Pray for the country. We don't have to wait when there's a crisis. Pray for the prime minister. Pray for the parliament. Pray for the judiciary. Pray for the police. Pray for the soldier. Pray for the church in this nation. Pray. And for all in authority, pray for the leaders of your church. Pray for King Church. Pray for the elders. Pray for them. It should be a weekly thing. I have a day assigned to all of this when I actually go through them. In several others, I pray for this nation. I pray for all those areas. I pray for Nigeria, where I come from. I pray for Kenya. Kenya is my adopted country because I spent a lot of time there, and so on and so forth. And you should pray for yourself at three levels. That God will strengthen you in your spirit. Pray, God will fill you afresh with your spirit every day. God, fill me with fresh anointing. The second one, pray for your soul. God, Psalm 23 says, He restores my soul. He refreshes my soul. And Psalm 121 says, He preserves my soul. God to refresh you. And for your body, God to satisfy your daily bread. And for Him to protect you.